talking about the office of the Director of National Intelligence. The Obama administration has asked, as we told you yesterday, the nation's top spymaster for his resignation. The rocky relationship between the president and the Director of National Intelligence, Dennis Blair, was evident during a series of meetings earlier this week. Some government insiders say that the White House didn't support the intelligence leader because they sought to control major intelligence decisions themselves. And joining us right here live is Siobhan Gorman. She is the intelligence correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Her stuff is, if you don't read her stuff, you don't really know what's going on. So, Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, give us a sense as to, well, what are you hearing? Because the announcement had been rumored for a while that Director Blair was heading out and then sort of popped up late yesterday. What are you hearing about the whys?
Well, the White House had a rather tense relationship with Mr. Blair, and as you mentioned, it had been rumored, and somewhat like the way that the intelligence agencies monitor chatter, reporters monitor chatter too,
right,
about Blair's possible departure had sort of ebbed and flowed over the last few months, and then this week there was a real uptick in chatter, as intelligence officials might say. So it was something that the White House had been mulling, and the rumors had been swirling that the White House had been interviewing potential candidates, which is true. However, one person I spoke with yesterday said that so far the candidates that they had been interviewing had largely turned them down, which is perhaps why we're seeing what seems to be a little bit of a chaotic handoff here.
And of course, the resignation comes just days after the Senate Intelligence Committee, I believe, came out with their report looking at the Undy bomber, or whatever we choose to call him, and just laid out all sorts of intelligence failures, essentially.
It did, although it's not necessarily clear that was what prompted this. I mean, if it did, it's something that would have been probably more of political convenience, if nothing else. I mean, this is something that various people at the White House had been mulling for a little while, and it may be more coincidental than anything else. I mean, aside from the fact that the report actually probably laid a lot of the blame at the National Counterterrorism Center, which is indeed under Mr. Blair, but there is somebody who heads that as well, and his job seems rather safe.
And part of the discussion that has arisen out of this resignation is this is the third person in 5 years who's had this job. Is this job even really doable?
That's an excellent question, and that is something that I think we will probably hear more questions about from lawmakers and other people who participate in the political process, because one of the big issues when the position was being created in 2004 was whether or not it would have enough authority to really make other agencies do the things the director thought needed to be done in order to better merge both collection and intelligence analysis efforts. And this, some people have certainly suggested in the wake of Mr. Blair's departure that his job is impossible to do, and it can't be done with the limited authority over both budget and personnel that the position has right now.
And the most visible, almost visible fight has been between ODNI and the CIA.
Yes. And what's interesting was actually the concern when they were creating the law was that the Pentagon would actually try to bigfoot the DNI. But what the law ended up doing was basically setting up an inherent tension between the Director of National Intelligence and CIA, because they inserted a little phrase in the law saying that the director's authorities would not, I think they used the word abrogate, any other cabinet official's authorities. Well, the only intelligence agency that doesn't have a cabinet official sitting over it is the CIA. So the CIA has felt for the last 5 years that was an open invitation to meddle in their affairs, whereas the DNI thinks that they're, doing their job.
And the idea, this of course came out of the 9/11 Commission report, and the idea was essentially to have that person who can bring these 16 intelligence organizations essentially under, herd all those cats, right?
Yes, that was precisely what the responsibility was. And the idea was that, especially in the wake of the 9/11 intelligence failures and to some degree the intelligence failures on Iraq, the agencies were withholding information from each other, or at the very least, they didn't really have mechanisms to share lots of information across the agencies unless you happen to know the other analyst at some other agency who was working on the same issue you were.
But as you said, no one was really surprised when, a little surprise about the timing, but no one was really surprised that Mr. Blair is stepping down.
Right. And that really has to do more with what seemed to be a series of sort of statements and decisions that he made that appeared to anger the White House. I mean, it goes way back to the beginning of his tenure when he had appointed a rather controversial person, Charles Freeman, to be sort of the head of overall intelligence analysis. And Mr. Freeman was widely criticized for being too cozy with both the Saudi Arabian government and the Chinese government. And it turned out that, you know, the DNI wasn't able to sort of push back sufficiently on that criticism, and so the appointment was dropped. But that was a pretty tough thing to have right out of the box. And there were similar issues like that that came up. I mean, more recently, he was Mr. Blair was testifying on the Hill, and he said outright that these new interrogation groups that were being set up by the administration should have questioned the alleged Christmas Day bomber, and that wasn't part of the message of the day from the administration, and the White House was very upset.
So, as you mentioned, this is ending up being a rather unartful passing of the baton. And now there's every time I have an AP alert come up, it's another name that's being tossed out there.
Yeah.
What are some of the names you were hearing, and what are some of the positives and minuses associated with those folks?
Well, the main name that has come up sort of in the last 12 to 24 hours, I suppose, is Jim Clapper, who is basically the top defense official for intelligence. And he's certainly been in this game for a long time. He used to head the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and he kind of came back out of the private sector to head up defense intelligence during the Bush administration, and in fact was only planning on staying for the last 2 years of the Bush administration. But then when Secretary Gates stayed on as defense secretary, he asked Mr. Clapper to stay.
And any concerns about, I mean, I know the Pentagon, as you mentioned before, early on, people were really concerned about the intelligence parts of the Pentagon being the really withholding part of this. Would that help? Would having a Pentagon person help ease the relationship between all the intelligence organizations and essentially the CIA?
Well, it might. I mean, interestingly, one of the reasons why Mr. Clapper actually was fired from his job heading up the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency was that the big debate that was raging at the time was whether or not there should be a Director of National Intelligence created. And Mr. Clapper had the audacity to say that he supported the idea of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency reporting directly to the Director of National Intelligence as opposed to the Defense Secretary, which angered then Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
So Mr. Clapper lost his job, and that's why it was considered somewhat ironic when he got this job now at the Pentagon heading up intelligence, because he basically got the job of the person who had fired him from his previous job. So it was an interesting sort of twist of fate there.
But from every indication, fairly quickly, the White House wants to move fairly quickly, assuming they can find somebody.
Yes, they do. I mean, Mr. Blair is leaving at the end of next week, and I don't think that they really want too long to go with an interim director, although the new DNI will have to be confirmed by the Senate, so there will likely be some sort of time lag there.
How is there a process, or are we too early on it? Early on to where we assess, okay, is this whole ODNI process? Does this organization even work?
I think that is probably an assessment that is going to pick up a little bit in the wake of all of this. It's been percolating along. I mean, there were a lot of forums and things like that held in Washington around the 5th anniversary of the DNI last month, and people were looking at what was and wasn't working. So it's certainly a continuing discussion that has in Washington. The question is whether or not major changes would be made, and Congress is obviously very tied up with a lot of different things, not to mention the midterm elections coming up in November.
So. They're busy.
Yeah.
They're very focused on things other than this, but I know the White House is very concerned that they look soft on these issues, and there was a little bit of concern that they weren't as proactive on the Undy bomber in some situations like that. So, I mean, I know it's high on their list.
It's high on their list, except their response to things like the Christmas Day bombing attempt was to have the president's counterterrorism advisor sort of take the reins. And so, you know, it's not totally clear yet how the White House wants to handle it. I mean, whether or not they actually would rather have more of these decisions made at the White House and really use the Director of National Intelligence as the president's principal intelligence advisor. And that some people I've spoken with have suggested that's really more of the model that they seem to be embracing.
Of course. course, you talk to all sorts of folks. What's the general assessment of people about ODNI and how this organization works? Or do they just say, you know, it's really too early to tell?
I think a lot of people feel like it's a crippled organization, and the debate is really over whether or not it can be strengthened in a way that would really improve intelligence collection and gathering. And that's sort of where we seem to be at this point.